BBC Radio Lancashire Sport with Andy Bayes.
Now then, have you ever heard of sporting memories? Well, if you haven't, hopefully the next half hour or so might well give you an idea of what it's all about. Well, it's been designed across Britain to help combat loneliness and be a helping hand for people with dementia and those who care for people with dementia. The co-founder and director of Sporting Memories is Mr. Tony Jameson Allen.
Myself and Chris Wilkins co-founded Sporting Memories in October 2011. It was to try and develop an intervention that would help older sports fans to remain connected to their communities, to their friends, to their passions, to their interests, and to help stimulate cognitively people, to help keep them learning and interacting and communicating, and also to try and tackle the emerging issue around loneliness, because there's a huge amount of information and evidence out there that loneliness really does have a massive impact, not only on our mental health, but our physical health as well. And, you know, Britain itself is a nation of sports fans and sports players, and we have such a rich history and heritage of sport that we felt that it was a resource that we could tap into that is really in the nation's psyche. Sport is just such a great connector. And at that point, we founded the organisation predominantly to work with people over the age of 50 who were living with memory problems, dementia, depression, facing issues around loneliness, to bring people together at Sporting Memories clubs.
It must be quite amazing and quite rewarding as well that some people who, for whatever reason, don't feel comfortable talking anymore, don't feel almost embarrassed if they can't remember things, that to go somewhere and talk about sport, it can often relax those fears, can't it?
Yeah. The case studies that we initially had that demonstrated that this had the impact we thought it might have were incredibly powerful. But it's seeing week in, week out, people who go to the groups, who maybe arrive looking a bit down and maybe not interacting and shuffling along, maybe suddenly just they come alive. There's so much fun and laughter, but the memories that get shared and the laughter and the companionship and friendship, it's really humbling to be involved in, to see just what it means to people to be attending a club and being part of the network, which is really helping people who are not only people who are living with really challenging long-term conditions like dementia, but also, you know, helping their partners and families and friends to also continue to enjoy life as much as they possibly can.
From your experience, is every single case, Tony, just different? Some people have a far more advanced stage of dementia than others. Some people are newly diagnosed and you could hardly tell if you spent 10 minutes in their company. So do the Sporting Memories clubs have to cater for people with so many different strains, forms, or whatever we want to call it, for people who have dementia and certainly different age groups too?
Yeah, people, I think, commonly associate dementia with old age. And whilst the prevalence of it is greater as the older the population, people as young as in their 20s and 30s can develop different types of dementia. When we talk about dementia, it's a global term. Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, but there are over 100 different types of dementia. So we're talking about a vast range of different ways that people can be impacted and the types of diseases that they have and the diagnosis. And often people think that dementia is all about memory. And whilst a lot of the dementias do impact on memory, there's often behaviour change, motor coordination, personality changes, lots of different effects in having a disease. And there's a saying that's used a lot in dementia services, which is when you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person with dementia, because everybody is different. It's no different to meeting any other person in the street. We all have our different ways of communicating and our different interests and our different ranges of friends and family. So yes, people are very much individuals, and there isn't a typical person who has dementia. We're all individuals. And what the common bond is and the idea behind sporting memories is it gives a focus for communication on a subject that most people are passionate about, but also it gives a subject that most people are comfortable talking about as well. Sport, I think, is one of those subjects that in particular men tend to start conversations off around, rather than thinking about feelings and health and all those other issues that blokes traditionally don't talk about. Sport is just an easy conversation to have.
Are we going to experience a real problem? We've got one already, but is it becoming more and more prevalent? Are more and more people being diagnosed with dementia, and how are we going to tackle it?
Well, in terms of prevalence, there are suggestions that we will have up to 1 million people living with dementia in the very near future across the UK. At the moment, it's estimated there's around 670,000 people living with dementia. But then there's also around 5 million people over the age of 75 who live alone. So the loneliness is a huge issue as well. Society is ageing. People are living longer, but people aren't necessarily living healthier. So as people live to a greater age, and we are seeing people living beyond 100 is becoming quite a common thing now. As we age, we are at more risk of developing long-term conditions, and our risk of developing dementia does increase. In terms of statistics. However, dementia is not age-related, and it's not inevitable that you will develop dementia. Many people can go on to live very healthy lives, long lives. What we do know, though, is that to be able to live well and live a long and healthy life, there's a lot of evidence now that says we need to remain connected to our friends, we need to remain connected to our passions, we need lifelong learning, we need to be stimulated our brains, and we also know we have to remain physically active. And that's an area we're doing an awful lot of work in at the moment, thanks to funding from National Lottery Players and Sport England, in testing and developing physical activities that are available and accessible for people living with dementia. Because we know we need to remain physically active to reduce our risk of developing long-term conditions. So we should actually start thinking about and investing in our health for old age when we're in our 40s and our 50s, because we can still make those changes to reduce our risks for developing the conditions such as dementia.
That's Tony Jameson Allen, who's the co-founder and director of Sporting Memories. I think we all know someone, don't we, who has had dementia, who's been diagnosed with dementia, whether it's a friend, whether it's a loved one. I certainly know that my family have been affected by dementia in various ways, and it is a horrible illness that so many people are living with at this moment in time. And let me just say, Sporting Memories, from spending a couple of hours with them in Leyland a few weeks ago, just led me to realise just how much of a fantastic job that they do, seeing so many people with smiles on their faces, enjoying their day, whether it is that they have dementia, whether it is that they're a loved one for someone with dementia, they bring their partners with them, whether it's someone who maybe wouldn't see anyone for a few days and they go for a couple of hours and have a cup of tea and have a chat with people all about what they've seen on the telly, maybe if they've been to a match over the weekend, and talk about sport and maybe play sport and maybe listen to someone telling us their memories of sport. So Sporting Memories meetings have been set up right across the UK. Lancashire's first two are run by volunteer group leader Keith McIntosh, who spoke to me at the Lancs FA with the Lancs FA's Andrew Whittaker. He's a disability inclusion officer. Keith told me how he first got involved.
Well, I was actually playing in a charity golf day up in Scotland at Prestwick. And I got talking with another golfer about how we keep ourselves busy after work in retirement. And we started talking about football, and we started talking. I mentioned a guy called Brian Pilkington, a good friend and the president of Chorley Football Club, who is living with Alzheimer's. We got talking about going to the matches and how we care for Brian and support him. And he said, "Have you heard of Sporting Memories Foundation?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, it's very strong and active in Scotland." and it's up and going in England as well, you want to make contact with that, because it's great for people who are living with Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, etc., loneliness, depression. Get them together, have some fun and friendship, refreshments. And so I couldn't wait to get back home to check it out, to look it up, and have a chat with Tony Jameson Allen, who's the founder and co-director of Sporting Memories. And the rest is history. So after about 18 months, we had the opportunity to arrange a meeting here at the Lancashire FA and also at Chorley Football Club. So last May, June, the first two Sporting Memories groups in Lancashire kicked off at Chorley Football Club and here at the Lancashire County FA in Leyland. And we've never looked back. It's great, it's brilliant and well worthwhile.
What was the reaction like from day one? I mean, how do you get word about that something like this is starting?
Well, we work closely with the dementia support groups around Chorley and South Ribble Leyland area for starters, and also just put word out with local contacts who are retired and have got an interest and background in sport. And people now bring people, their friends. And also our friends and guests are referred to the groups at Chorley and here at Leyland by the Alzheimer's Society, Age UK, and that's how we've grown, and it's really gone well.
In terms of the Lancashire FA being involved, Andrew, is this just the sort of thing that you're here for in many ways?
Yeah, so football is for all. That's the FA strapline, and the Sporting Memories for me brings part of that. I came from an adult social care background into sport, so I've come probably with a little bit of a different slant on things. And for me, when we get out, we go and do the challenges. We did the penalty kicks challenge. We needed to score as many goals as what was in last year's Premier League. For me, that's the link with the sport and physical activity side. That's the link with the football side. But it's also the history that comes with that as well. Obviously, Lancashire FA, very proud of its history within football, and obviously with Keith being able to help to celebrate that, I was bringing in our guest speakers and obviously Keith theming what we do. It's just been absolutely amazing.
Keith, when you look around a room like today, I've just spoken to Andrew saying, wow, there's a lot of people here, and Andrew has already told me, well, this isn't anywhere near the number that in some weeks that you've had for various things. I'm told it's routine, that as much as anything, for people to know that for someone who is living with dementia or someone who is caring for someone with dementia, to know that they've got somewhere they're going to be on a Monday morning is a massive help to them.
It is indeed. And we're very pleased that we can support the carers, the husbands and the wives, the friends who bring their relatives along to the group. And we want to support and encourage them and give them some quality time where they can relax and meet up and have a chat, have refreshments, and know that the partners or their guests are being well looked after and having some great fun time. So we want to look after the carers and the helpers and the supporters as well. Yeah.
In some ways, Andrew, you look across a room where people are affected by dementia, and some people might expect to walk in and see a lot of maybe sad, glum faces. It's the exact opposite, isn't it?
Totally. The enthusiasm, the conversations that are had, as you just mentioned there about the weekly sessions. Since we launched in June, we have been running weekly sessions. We've grown. We've brought new friends in, new guests that have come in. It's a big community now. People are coming together. People are sharing transport. People are linking together, getting the ways here. And what we're finding as well, which is amazing, is we're not only supporting our friends and guests, but also their family networks are coming together and actually having conversations in that room as well and helping to support each other. So it's peer support within the same environment. And as you said, you just you come in, and the idea is to create a real positive environment from the offset, and we've just transferred that all the way through.
Keith, Sporting Memories told me recently that 750,000 people are living with dementia. We can't wave a magic wand and that disappear. In fact, it's going the opposite. It's going to be more prevalent as time goes on. People are living longer. I suppose that's one of the reasons behind it. And maybe 20 or 30 years ago, if someone elderly couldn't remember something, they'd be just described as, oh, he's old and senile now. We can't get away with that sort of attitude these days,
can we? No, we can't. And it's wrong to have that attitude. And we've got to be positive and supportive, and we've got to encourage and care for people and be more mindful. And Sporting Memories is a fantastic initiative that can provide that support and care and encouragement in a positive way. So it's great to be a part of it, and we're making a positive difference in a lot of people's lives.
And when you retired, did you wonder, what am I going to do to fill my time apart from go on the golf course? Yeah. Have you found your sort of second hobby here, if I could call it a hobby? It's a job, really, isn't it?
Well, it's voluntary service, and yet it means so much. And when you're working in partnership with the likes of the Lancashire County FA and the staff, and at Chorley Football Club as well, volunteers make it work. We're blessed and we're very thankful that we've got a great team of volunteers and helpers here and at Chorley, and they want to play their part. So, yeah, it's great. It's a very positive way of keeping busy for those people, you know, in retirement. And, yeah, I love it. It's great. Buzzing.
It's amazing what stories you hear, Andrew. I sat down with one gentleman for about 5 minutes, and before really we got into any conversation, he told me he spoke Russian. He told me he's lived in minus 30 degree temperatures and told me so many things. And it's really interesting to hear that people have got such stories to tell.
You're 100% correct. And obviously, we are based at the County FA. Football is kind of probably our main theme, but it's not our only theme. We've had cyclists that have come in and shared stories with us. We are embracing the full sporting memories of it. And as you've seen today, we've actually got teenagers that are helping to facilitate some of the sessions as members of staff of the County FA, and that intergenerational work, bringing stories together. We all have something that's special and unique to us, and it's brilliant that people are able to share that with other people, which is obviously what the gentleman did with you today as well.
Just finally, Keith, is there anything more we can do? There's got to be, hasn't there, that we have to look and try and find a way to get this horrible disease killed off once and for all, don't we?
Yeah, which is a massive commitment, and there's a big research project going on at this moment in time. And there's a big campaign that's been on the go for a few years, but it's really beginning to gather ahead of steam now. The Jeff Astle Foundation and other former professional footballers whose lives have been drastically affected by Alzheimer's dementia over the years. So this campaign, Dementia in Football, needs to be really brought to the surface, supported by the sporting authorities, the PFA, the Football Association, and medical specialists, to see if they can work together to fund and help to find a cure. In the meantime, we've got to care and look after people who are living with dementia, Alzheimer's, and sporting memories is a great way of doing that.
That's Keith McIntosh, the group leader of two sporting memories meeting spots in Lancashire. The very first two at Leyland on Monday mornings and Chorley on Wednesday afternoons. And the Lancashire FA's Andrew Whittaker, he's their disability inclusion officer. Both of them work so hard to put on a fantastic morning every week at Leyland. Now, one of the main supporters of Sporting Memories in Leyland is the former Preston North End striker, Alex Bruce. I shall call him legend, really, shouldn't I? Alex, who's retired from the leisure industry a few years ago, has been telling me how he has first got involved.
What we're trying to do is, basically, I think Alan Shearer started it with his TV programme, and that was on dementia. But Sporting Memories for people that are lonely and depressed as well. So it covers a wide age group. I mean, you don't have to be old to have dementia or to be lonely or depressed. And that. So basically, we're just trying to help people.
And in terms of it, today is almost a games day. You have guest speakers some weeks. It's varied to keep people interested, is it?
It is, yeah. I mean, today when you have, for example, a games day, it's ideal. I mean, it's great when you have speakers, don't get me wrong. But you get them interacting, and by the time you go home, you can see that people are like, I'm not saying they're mega happy and that, but they've had a good morning, they've enjoyed themselves.
That's the big thing that struck me already. You would imagine that sometimes people who are either caring for someone with either depression or dementia might be quite sad. It appears to be the exact opposite when they come here, which might give them the release that they need.
It is, I mean, you come here and you might feel a bit down the dumps or one thing and another. But by the time they leave, you can see a difference in everybody. I mean, the people that are helping as well. I mean, everybody benefits.
Sport's in your blood. Everyone will know from your time with Preston North End, your two spells there and all the goals that you scored. And then when you left the football environment, you worked in the leisure industry until retirement. So when you come here and see sport, I suppose that's what you've been preaching all your life, isn't it? For people of all ages to have a go.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing for me is enjoying football. I mean, I was quite lucky. I came through an era where you did enjoy playing football. I'm not saying you don't enjoy playing professional football now, but it's certainly different. And that. So, yeah, I enjoyed every minute of my career. Well, now I'm the same now with my grandchildren. I'm not bothered whether they're good at sport as long as they enjoy taking part. And that's the key to me.
Are there some young Bruces who've got granddad's talent?
They prefer rugby to the boys. I've three boys. They love football as well. They love going on North End, but not so. But yeah, I think they prefer rugby and cricket.
We've just watched a little snippet of a video from the final game of the season back in 1981 when Preston North End played Swansea. Swansea were promoted that day, and Blackburn Rovers missed out because of Swansea going to Deepdale that day. And I've spoke to a lot of Rovers ex-players since who remember that day very, very well. When you watch the tape of that, does it bring it all flooding back?
Yeah, there's great memories. There wasn't a lot of matches on TV. I think it was kick-off on a Sunday and match the day on a Saturday. So there's not a lot of matches on, but yeah, it's great. It's great memories. Yeah, really good.
And North End is still so important to you now, isn't it?
Yeah, I get on about five times a season. Take the grandchildren on, and it's a really good friendly club, and I really enjoy going.
Just ask Alex. You mentioned the Alan Shearer documentary. Yeah. What did you make of it? Are you concerned that football and dementia has a link?
The sad thing to me is that it's going to be one of these things unless you could 100% prove it. That's what I gleaned out of the Alan Shearer programme, it's not 100%, they could prove it. But there's a lot of players that do end up with dementia. And somebody was telling me that, I think it was Mark Lawrenson, was saying that the England World Cup team, 1966, about three quarters of the team ended up with dementia. Now, so it might be a coincidence, but the balls were heavy. On a wet day, they were like lead, it was like... Luckily, I wasn't good in the air, so I never headed that many.
did you, when you look back, when your coaches said to you, "Let's do some heading today," when you look back at the footballs and the conditions that you worked in, do you sometimes think, "What were we thinking?"
Definitely, yeah. I was usually injured that day when it was heading practice, and same when it was lapping the pitch. a slight strain used to get thrown in, but. I think if everybody had done their job, and if you got a target man, it was really good in the air. I mean, they were just firing balls up at them all day in training. And like I say, when the tee balls we played, we got wet, and that, they weighed a ton. They really did. So,
when you see those footballs they have today, when you even touch one, they fly, don't they?
They do, and the pitches are great, but you're right, the balls are very light now, or they appear light, and they don't absorb water. I think that's the key So it's like playing on the beach sometimes. So,
and in terms of retirement, how are you keeping yourself busy and healthy and playing sport?
Good. I always thought when I retired, I got the chance for early retirement, and I always thought, well, I'm not going to sit at home, and I don't, rain, hail, or shine, I'm out every day walking. Four grandchildren, look after them, go and watch them, and I've loads of hobbies . So the key is keep busy.
Alex Bruce, who was my boss once upon a time at Bama Bridge Leisure Centre, seems like a lifetime ago. What a great guy he is, and delighted to see him helping at Sporting Memories, and a man who has very many happy sporting memories as well. Right, two more frequent visitors to hear from at Sporting Memories, either side of the traffic and travel. Let's hear from one man who's got a real story to tell. Colin Fairhurst has spent half a century as a scout in a career ranging from Bolton Wanderers to Blackburn Rovers and now Manchester United. He's been telling me all about his time in the game.
This is my 50th season now. I'm 84 now, so I've been contemplating packing it in, but I lost my wife nearly 8 years ago, and I think if I packed it in, I'd regret it. So I've been at United 18 years now.
Have you spotted some absolutely terrific prospects?
Tommy is one of mine. He came in as a five-year-old from Lancaster. Sam Johnson, he'll be playing against Bolton tonight, the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. He left for $6.5 million, rising to $10 million. I don't know how much I got out of that. Not very much. And I have quite a few lads in the system, you know.
It's amazing that you said McTominay's been at United from the age of five. In terms of youngsters playing football and clubs want them at the age of five, it seems awfully young, doesn't it? But he's a good example.
Yeah. He was absolutely outstanding as a five-year-old. You know? He really was. In one period at United this time, in a period of, 18 months, he's grown from 5'6" to 6'4". Yeah. So I've had a lot of players. I've had perhaps seven in North End for a team, and I've never worked for them. Clark Carlisle, he's one of my lads from Leyland. It's been an interest of mine for all that length of time, you know.
Incredible. So your 50th season this year?
Yeah, come June, I'll just be finishing my 50th season, yeah.
Still the same enjoyment?
And you know, I'll never get a ticket for first team game.
You're too busy watching everyone else, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you still enjoying it as much? Yeah, as, yeah. Do you enjoy watching football in 2019 as much as you did back then?
Yeah, I do. I prefer to stand on my own and just watch the game and not be bothered. Certainly with mobile phones, I don't like that.
No.
I go watching Chorley on a Saturday afternoon.
Doing very well, aren't they?
Marvellous. They were really good on Saturday.
You're here today at the Lancashire FA for the sporting memories. What is it that you think, oh, I'd like to come to this?
Well, it's something to do, you know. It's rather than sit watching the goggle box at home, and I look forward to it every Monday. I really do. It's marvellous, and get to know new people. I didn't know this gentleman before, and we're all pretty good friends in there now. And we've had a do outside, playing football, you know, shooting in. What was it, 1,029 goals we scored?
1,064.
It represented the number of goals scored in the Premiership last year. So, and then we've had a do walking up the steps, haven't we? What was that?
The height of Big Ben.
Aye, the number of steps. So we all volunteered how many steps we were going to do, 4 or 7 or 11. And we all, you'll see a photo in there of us all doing it. No, I look forward to it.
What do you get the more out of? The speeches, the physical stuff to have a go? Is there a preference?
Equal, and especially when notables come along. We had David Moyes here one week, hadn't we?
Yeah.
Jason Queeley, yeah, I missed him. So, and Tommy Docherty's coming at the end of next month. So that's good.
Be an entertaining day when Tommy Docherty comes. And I would imagine some of the players he mentions, you might well turn around and say, well, I discovered him.
Probably Steve and Alex Bruce will know him anyway, personally, won't they?
They both played under him, I think.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about sporting memories, and the two places in Lancashire where you can go every week to just listen to someone speaking, listen to someone really telling tales about their time in sport, or maybe the table tennis table will come out, or maybe the board games will come out, whatever it is. It's an hour and a half where you can just go and have a really good time. Mondays, 11 until 12:30 at the Lancashire Football Association in Leyland. Wednesdays at Victory Park, Chorley, 1:30 until 3. Keith McIntosh will meet you at both. He's a fantastic guy. He'll make you feel welcome, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy it. So make sure you get yourselves down there if you would really like to go. And I'm sure Keith would love your help if you wanted to go and help him as well. Now, another man who has made new friends at Sporting Memories is the Burnley title winner from 1960, Trevor Meredith. Despite not knowing anybody when he first attended, he says it's something that he now gets a lot out of.
I came, first of all, for the Brian Pilkington presentation day. That opened the proceedings, and I've come ever since. I've really enjoyed it. Different people. Most of the people here are Leyland based, I think. I'm an outsider coming in. But I've made friends. I don't hold that against them. Yeah, I've had. And we have fun and a laugh, and the speakers come in and bring happy memories back. Yeah.
Those happy memories of your time as a footballer, I mean, how brilliant when you look back now at those memories.
I played for Burnley at the peak of Burnley's time in the old First Division, and it was absolutely superb to play for them at that time and be involved in important games.
Chairman and managers that go down in Burnley folklore, aren't they?
Well, Bob Lord goes down in folklore. Harry Potts was a superb manager, always for no pressure to play, just lovely guys, mostly from the North East, and knitted together at that time as a team.
How much pleasure have watching Burnley given you in recent years?
Oh, I'm delighted. They haven't the skilled players, perhaps, but the teamwork is absolutely brilliant, and they deserve to be where they are through hard work, good management, and perhaps an extra bit of effort from the players.
So if everyone was in their peak of their careers, how would a game go between Sean Dyche's Burnley and your team that were league champions?
our team had the skill, the ability, but players now are much more fit, a lot fitter. So you'd have to... The same with players like Tom Finney and Nat Lofthouse. They would fit in now, but they would have to be a lot fitter than they were.
My dad, who saw Tom Finney play, said he would get in any team at any generation, in any year. He was that good. And when he talks about him, I feel like I've really missed out. How good was he?
Tom was probably amongst the two or three best players, not only in this country, but in the world. He was magnificent.
He just had everything, didn't he? You could play him in any position, really.
Yeah, all along the forward line. Yeah, super.
You're still very much in touch with Jimmy Robson, aren't you, from the good old days?
Yes, I see Jimmy now and again. He came over to when Brian Pilkington opened his stand at the Lancashire FA. But yeah, I see Jimmy now and again when we have interviews for various things.
And when people point out to you just how long ago some of those glory days are, do they seem that long ago or do they seem like yesterday?
Memories fade. They do seem quite a while ago, yeah. Time goes on.
Game's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's a young person's game still and time evolves, yeah.
Has it changed for the good, Trevor, or not?
Money-wise, a completely different world. Mm. I don't begrudge players the money they get because they get what they're offered. Mm. But the commercialism, it turns me off a bit.
I can understand that. And in terms of coming to the sporting memories, will you be continuing your involvement for the foreseeable?
Yes, I like coming here. Keith has done a superb job organising it, hasn't he? Yeah. And it's really enjoyable. My wife kicks me out every Monday morning.
I get kicked out every morning. Trevor Meredith speaking to me at the Sporting Memories at the Lancashire Football Association. Lovely to see so many lovely people when we spent the morning there a few weeks ago. Now, one person who we didn't hear from tonight is someone we'll hear from him in a lot of detail next week. And that's the former Preston North End striker, Steve Elliott, who was diagnosed with dementia last year at the age of 59. I've been spending a little bit of time with Steve in recent weeks at Sporting Memories and at his home with his lovely wife, Mags. And Steve told me exactly when he thought there was something wrong, or actually, he didn't realise.
It was Mags who spotted it, definitely. I didn't have a clue, to be honest. The thing I'm not too sure about me driving, and I didn't like it, so she's always doing the driving now, which is a bit of a shame, really, for you.
Are there things you're looking forward to doing this year?
Don't really know. We've got a couple of bits in the pipeline, haven't we? Holidays and stuff. A couple of little lads who keep me going. One of them's three, and he's better than I am. Such a good fellow, really.
So your great nephews are coming to keep you busy, are they?
Yeah.
Are they footballers in the making?
I don't know yet. The little one, he's only three, but he's such a character.
Lovely fellow, Steve Elliott. We'll hear more from him next week. And we'll hear from his wife, Mags, who realised that something was wrong.
I noticed that he was becoming more tired, and I didn't know whether that was through work, sort of 12-hour shifts. However, sort of it had an ongoing effect, whereas he's losing his concentration and basic tasks around the house he was struggling with. Maybe making a cup of tea, anything to do with sequences he struggled with. And driving, his concentration around driving and his spatial awareness, he wasn't very good on distances. Also, sort of remembering dates, appointments, or even what day it was. So we've got those reminders in place now. It was quite upsetting when he forgot my birthday, but it's the illness, and I accept that. It was upsetting at the time, but as time goes on, you understand as to why he struggles with different things.
BBC Radio Lancashire Sport with Andy Bayes.
Well, tonight we're going to focus on dementia and hear in detail about two cases, two former footballers whose loved ones feel that they need answers.
I feel that there is a link, definitely. Stephen does have his name down for some research through the PFA. There is somebody doing research called William Stewart up in Scotland, I think it is, and he's basically saying that nothing can be done research-wise until Stephen can donate his brain, basically. There needs to be a lot more research, definitely.
What I would like to see happen is a real sort of hands to the pump in trying to find the link. And, you know, if there is a link found, then maybe things can be done to, you know, to hopefully find some sort of cure or tablet or medicine which can help. I mean, no, you know, nobody knows.
Firstly, Steve Elliott, a man who scored 70 goals for Preston North End between 1979 and 1984. It's close to a year ago since he was medically retired and was forced to give up his driving licence.
It was Mags who spotted it, definitely. I didn't have a clue, to be honest. Didn't have a clue. The thing I'm not too sure about me driving, and I didn't like it, so she's always doing the driving now, which is a bit of a shame, really, for you.
Are there things you're looking forward to doing this year?
Don't really know. We've got a couple of bits in the pipeline, haven't we? Holidays and stuff. A couple of little lads who keep me going. One of them's three, and he's better than I am. Such a good fella, really.
So your great nephews are coming to keep you busy, are they?
Yeah.
Are they footballers in the making?
I don't know yet. I don't know. The little one, he's only three. But he's such a character.
So Steve was unaware, but his wife Mags, a fully trained nurse, knew that something wasn't right.
I noticed that he was becoming more tired, and I didn't know whether that was through work, sort of 12-hour shifts. However, it had an ongoing effect, whereas he's losing his concentration and basic tasks around the house he was struggling with. Maybe making a cup of tea, anything to do with sequences he struggled with, using the remote control, I think I mentioned that last time. And driving, his concentration around driving and his spatial awareness, he wasn't very good on distances. Also sort of remembering dates, appointments, or even what day it was. So we've got those reminders in place now. It was quite upsetting when he forgot my birthday, but it's the illness and I accept that. It was upsetting at the time, but as time goes on, you understand as to why he struggles with different things. He does present very well, which is good, but things at home he does struggle with. Sort of names, say basic tasks around the house are really poor, and people don't see that. I think it's when people spend a little bit more time with him that they realise that he does have difficulties.
We'll hear Steve's story, and we'll also hear that of Mike Sutton, the father of Chris, the Blackburn Rovers title winner. Mike lives in a home in Norfolk and requires round-the-clock care.
My mum, living with him at the time, who started to notice small things at first, but then, in all honesty, there's that, you know, there's the thought process that he's getting older, we're all forgetful at times, and then he was brought up in Norwich, knows the area inside out, you know, as a youngster would know any lane, any street, any park. He got lost on the way home one day, and I think that really set the alarm bells ringing. And so then, you know, my mum obviously took him to the doctors, and then it's just been a gradual decline, and things, you know, are getting worse and worse. And I think it's been terribly hard on my mum because she didn't want him to go in a home. But in terms of 24-hour care, she had, and she probably wouldn't like me to say this, but she had no life in little things like she felt she had to watch over him all the time in terms of if he walked out of the house, then he'd be gone, which, you know, he has been lost one or two times. Then you have to lock the doors, little things like he would need to toilet at night and things, and she would have to get up regularly to take him to the toilet. I mean, you know, and it was horrific for her, and she couldn't cope in the end. You know, at first, in the early stages, you think, you know, you can cope, but then it's impossible. And we go to the the home in on the outskirts of Norwich where we live and see him. And all we can do is sit and nurture him and talk to him and try and remember and just, you know, give him support. You don't get a lot back. Sometimes you see a little glint in his eye.
Well, former footballers being diagnosed with dementia is nothing new. A significant number of England's World Cup winners of 1966 have had to live with it. Martin Peters and Nobby Stiles, just to name two. Legends like Danny Blanchflower, Jimmy Hill and John Charles lived their final days without the dignity that they'd have liked or deserved. And the case of Jeff Astle, who died at the age of 59, the coroner said, due to industrial disease from heading a football. It prompted Alan Shearer to front a documentary for BBC Television.
I was just pleased that eventually we could get something done, we could get people talking about it, get the research started. That should have been started years ago because we wouldn't have been in this position now and not having the answers that we should have. Still not there, still work to be done. But at least it started, and yeah, I'm absolutely delighted that with the impact that it has had.
Dementia is an umbrella term with many different causes. Alzheimer's disease is probably the most recognisable and best known, particularly in older people. Speaking to Alan Shearer in his documentary in 2017, Dr. Willie Stewart, a consultant neuropathologist, explained in terms of footballers with dementia what he's looking for.
Dementia is where you've got a loss of normal brain function. Your memory is affected, sometimes your personality is affected, and it can progress to other systems affected as well.
Right.
So it's a very loose term. There's lots and lots of different types of dementia. People are really familiar with Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
But there are many other types of dementia too. And this one that we are particularly interested in is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, much easier to say. And that's been around for an awful long time. We used to recognise it and see it fairly regularly in former boxers.
So once known as boxer's brain, CTE is now appearing in footballers too. Dawn Astle, the daughter of former West Brom striker Jeff and founder of the Astle Foundation, also told Alan Shearer what it was like watching her dad's condition rapidly worsen.
It was the most devastating, brutal thing I've ever seen in my life. It used to kill me to go and see him. He'd try and get out of a moving car, you're a nervous wreck around him. It was devastating to see him just completely change. He looked like Dad in the first few years, but when the disease really took a hold on him, the difference in how he looked, he was 59 when he died and he looked 159.
Right.
And it just killed us. Right. Pathologist who examined Dad's brain described how badly damaged it was. There was trauma right the way through it. That's when he said it was the repeated heading of footballs that he believed had caused all this trauma over a period of years. The ruling was industrial disease. So in other words, Dad's job had killed him. And it wasn't until 2014, when his brain was re-examined and it was found that he didn't have Alzheimer's, he had CTE, or boxer's brain. That's when we wanted to know why. My dad was a footballer, how did he end up with boxer's brain?
So you're absolutely convinced that heading a football definitely had something to do...
Definitely.
..with your...
Absolutely, definitely.
Let's first take the case of Steve Elliott, a footballer who played here in the county at Preston North End and in the North West for Bolton, Bury and Rochdale.
As Preston comes storming through again with Bruce. This time it was Elliott.
Steve's someone that I've known for a number of years. I used to work with him at Bamberbridge Leisure Centre during the 1990s when his playing days were over, and he came back to my attention when he attended Sporting Memories earlier this year. I spent some time in his company recently, firstly in the comfort of his own home. And the first thing you notice, as always, is a friendly smile and a chat about football. Nothing new. And then he felt comfortable taking part in a recorded interview, sat alongside his loving wife, Mags, speaking about the good old days weren't really an issue.
Firstly, how are you? It's a long time since I've seen you. How's things right now?
Yeah, things are okay.
That's really good to hear. I know you from the leisure industry, but your footballing days go back further than that, Steve. I mean, when you look back on your playing days, just how much fondness do you reflect on your football time with?
It was brilliant. That's all I wanted to do. I was told from my mother that that I was 11 plus, And she said, I failed it, which I did. There was only three places to go.
Basically, Steve to everybody, failed his 11 plus on purpose so that he could go to the school that played football and not rugby.
Is that right, Mr. Elliott? You managed to get into a football school?
I don't think so. I didn't like rugby. And that was at Hayden Bridge. And then I didn't want to go to the grammar school at Hexham. So I went the other way and I was only 400 yards from South Tynedale School.
Perfect. So your footballing career started properly with Nottingham Forest, didn't it? A football club who were really going places back then, weren't they?
Yeah, it was good. I went for a trial and stuff like that. And then the gaffer, he came in after watching the game and he was talking with my dad in the Whitley Bay Scout. And anyway, Cluffy walked in and they were having a bit of a barney and he just walked in and said, would you like to play for me, son? I says, yeah, I'd love to, Mr. Clough.
It's a brilliant story. I mean, no one used to say no to Brian Clough, did they? If he told you you were signing, whether you wanted to or not, you would do, wouldn't you?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Absolutely, definitely.
Was he someone that everybody just had massive respect for, Steve? I mean, his record in the game was unbelievable. Yeah. And he was so different to everybody else, wasn't he?
He was. He was just a one-off, really. He really was.
Was he a good coach? Did you learn a lot from him?
I did, yeah. I played... How many games did I play? I only played about four or five games. But one of them was playing at Liverpool, 52,000. After that, a couple of games that I got after that as well. But then Gary Birtles got his place, which he was a good player, don't get me wrong. And at the end of this first season, second season, I got a phone call from Mr. Clough. I keep calling him Mr. Clough.
Did he call you young man?
He did. He did. All the time. And what he did, he rang me up and he says, I want you to come down and speak to me. And I says, all right. He said, I want to give you some more experience. And I says, all right. And he says, I want you to go to New Zealand and you can pick anybody you want. Because, can you remember a lad called Bryn Gunn?
Yeah.
Well, Bryn Gunn and me were in the same, it was only a house, and it was a proper house, wasn't it? And Brenda, she was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He says, you can take anybody you want with you. And so me and Bryn went to New Zealand for 3 months. And I played quite well in that. First game, I got a hat trick, and it just went on from there, and it was brilliant, and that was more or less it, and I came back, and after that I got a couple of more games and stuff like that, and it just went from there really. I didn't play that many games. I was on the bench for two of the games. What was it?
European?
Yeah, European Cups, yeah. Yeah, I was on the bench for two of them. And that was more or less it, really.
Some experience. When people who have played for Brian Clough say there is no experience quite like it. You've played for a number of other managers, Steve. Would you say that that's fair, that Brian Clough was different to anybody else that you worked with?
Yeah, he was definitely different. It was definitely different.
Different good or different,
yeah, different
strange?
In a good way, yeah. In a good way, yeah.
We're talking about dementia and how it affects certain people. In particular, former footballers. We've just heard the story of Steve Elliott. More to come from Steve in just a moment. Let's just hear how his wife, Mags, is coping with the diagnosis that he was given last year. In years gone by, was he very, very good with appointments, dates, times,
and everything. Was it such
yes.
a big change?
It was a very big change. He was very good with monies. He sort of sorted out any household bills, bank accounts, anything to do with monies, even teaching nieces and nephews maths or whatever. He was very good. You know, his tables he was always hot on. And he used to brag about how good he was at monies, but now he's very poor, so we've had to put things into place because he was losing monies and not understanding sort of what was in his pocket or what he was giving out, or if he lost it out of his pocket. So things are in place so that we know exactly where we're at with it.
750,000 people live with dementia. They're only the people that actually have the condition, not the other people who care for people with dementia. And they fear that the number will go over 1 million very, very soon. It's startling, isn't it? And it needs something. At some point, more and more people are going to get this horrible disease, aren't they?
There's a lot of research that needs to be done. And as Stephen's got his name down for research, we're just waiting to hear from them from the Drake Foundation.
In terms of the broader picture with Circle of Friends, what's that been like, the people around you, the support network? Could you do with more?
We could do with a lot more, yes. We've noticed that sort of friends have backed off a little bit, which has been upsetting people that he's known for a lot of years. And whilst they might see him and say, oh, hello, Steve, how are you? And Steve will say, I'm all right. So then they think he's all right. Whereas just a phone call once a month, even, it's just a different conversation that Steve needs. He needs stimulating.
His teammate at North End, Alex Bruce, keeps in contact and sees him every Monday when they meet at the Lancashire FA to attend a sporting memory session.
Alex Bruce with his 13th goal of the season. The ball bubbling about in the Swansea area, and the chance was his and he took it.
Unfortunately, Steve was diagnosed at 59 years of age with dementia, Alex. Doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
No, it's really strange. When you meet up now, I mean, I'm nearer 70 than 60 now, but when we meet up now, you're either hobbling or, you know, the lads are limping along. Now you have aches and pains, a bit of arthritis and one thing and another. And Steve, unfortunately, at an early age, has got dementia and that, which is quite sad, but Maggie's wife does a great job. And Steve loves coming here on a Monday.
You've known him an awfully long time in terms of football and the leisure industry, and Steve is a very, very happy man, isn't he? You know, he's always been a great personality.
Yeah, I mean, Steve's one of the nicest people I've ever met, and I'm not just saying that because I see him on a Monday, but he is, and he was a great player as well. And that. So any support for Steve, yeah, it's great.
People who are the carer as well, it's massively important, isn't it, that people with Steve's condition are looked after?
Yeah, Maggie's a star, and there's quite a few wives here today. I think there's three other chappies that have got dementia, and their wives are doing a great job, and like you say, they're always happy, and they are when they're here.
Sporting Memories provides an environment that Steve feels comfortable, somewhere that's safe, familiar and friendly. Importantly, it's at the same time every week, as his wife Mags explains.
When you get to a Monday morning, can you tell by his demeanour when he gets up that he's going somewhere that he likes?
Yes, definitely. He does enjoy it. He always talks about it the night before because we've got a planner to say what we're doing the next day. And even on the morning, he's saying, what time are we going? What time are we going? And sort of mithers a little bit about going, a little bit anxious about it. And again, that's what people don't say about him going. When we've got different challenges on, like when we had the penalty shootout, he was like an eager beaver wanting to get here and to start straight away with the ball. But that's how competitive he is and how much he enjoys it.
Just to come to the Lancashire FA and to have people like Keith and the rest of the Lancashire FA who take over the hour and a half, how much of a boost is that for you, that you don't have to run the hour and a half, that someone else is looking after things?
Excellent. And I can see how much he gets from it. That makes me feel happy, knowing that he's enjoying it that much. Because sort of when we go home, he'll go back into his chair and just sit and watch TV.
Is that with a smile on his face, or do you worry sometimes that he's not happy?
Sometimes I do worry that he's not happy, but he is overall happy at the moment, which is good. He does get a little bit anxious, but I tend to know the signs and symptoms when he is like that and sort of to divert him to do something different.
An hour and a half of either physical activity or listening to a guest speaker gives people in the room a focus, whether they have dementia or not. The Monday of my visit was Games Week. Table tennis, boccia, board games, something for everybody. Some activities less strenuous than others. To see what Steve gets out of it is pretty obvious. He walks into a room and throws himself into all of the activities. And if there are any worries in his life, they've quickly gone in those 90 minutes.
It's been good. It's been good. It's really, it's a great thing to do. Because, I mean, when I was playing, you just love playing, don't you? And anyway, just Keith getting into this with Keith has been brilliant. And it's just great. Just love it.
You walked in today probably about 5 minutes after me, and the first thing you did was walk straight over to a table tennis table and start playing. That sums you up, doesn't it?
It does, really. I just picked that ball up and started playing with it.
The competitive edge is there, isn't
there. It? It's always there.
Is it there with everything in sport for you?
I think it is for me, Yeah, I loved it.
You've been coming here for a number of months. It's varied, isn't it? Some weeks there's someone talking. Today is more sort of practical, where you take part. What is there a preference for you, or do you just enjoy any of them?
I just enjoy most of it, to be honest. But the best thing for me was when I was doing the football outside. That was the best for me.
And that, I'm told, it was to score as many goals that were scored in a Premier League last season, wasn't it? And
like
more than 1,000 goals. Yeah. And you walked up and you were well on the way, weren't you, to weighing in with most of them?
Yeah, most of them, yeah. Yeah.
How good is it to see Alex here? Alex Bruce, someone...
Yeah.
I think Alex told me you've known each other for the best part of 40 years through playing football together and working together and that sort of thing.
Great. Bruce is a great fella. He really is.
We watched a video of you both playing in 1981 earlier on the screen, didn't we? You were both forward players back in the day, weren't you?
Yeah.
Did you play to each other's strengths?
Yes and no. Bruce is just a,
a box striker.
That's the one. I'll do a bit of running around. But Brucey, I've always loved Brucey. He's a great guy. Great guy.
He's got the age on you. There's about 10 years between you, isn't there?
So he's somewhat like that. I could put another couple on late, but I might as well next day.
And you go to Sporting Memories at Chorley as well?
Not so much at Chorley, to be honest. Not so much at Chorley. Because I do go, me and Mags go as well. But it's mainly with Bolton Wanderers.
Right.
And they're really into it. And it's all football, football, football. But apart from that, it's been great.
Seen some wonderful people today. One gentleman came straight up to me and said, I used to live in minus 30 degree temperatures in Russia and I can speak fluent Russian. I'd met him for about 10 seconds and I knew that about him. I've met today a man who discovered many, many players over the last 50 years as a scout for Manchester United and Blackburn Rovers. Some really interesting people here, aren't there?
There is, yeah, very interesting. It's everybody just gets in with it, everybody else, and it's just great.
Well, you look like you're dressed for sport. Will golf be on the agenda this week?
Yeah, I played yesterday, Winter League. Just won on the last hole. Me and my mate, so that was good.
Are you progressing well in the golf stages?
Well, we're getting there slowly.
Just waiting for the weather to get better, aren't we?
Yeah, the weather's not too good, but it wasn't too bad yesterday, so it was all right.
Walking football as well.
Yeah.
You play that. Just tell us about that. I mean, are you, for someone who's still fit like you, are you ever tempted not to walk? Are you tempted
to? It is hard, honestly. It really is. Keith sometimes says, stop that, stop running. Should see him when he's running.
and to bring this back to why we're here, there's a variety of people with a variety of different health issues who come today, Steve.
Yeah.
From your specific one, just how much does it help you, do you think, on a weekly basis that you've got this to focus on?
I love it. I'm ready to get out of bed and get here. It's great. Love it.
And is that different some days? If it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday, is that a little bit different for you?
Yeah, it is a little bit different, but it's good.
Well, it's great to see you. You've got a big smile on your face. You've had a really good morning.
Yeah.
Time to treat Mrs. Elliott now and take her home for your company all afternoon.
She nearly beat me in table tennis. Well, I'm not happy.
Well, yeah. It's a good job we stopped playing when we did, because I think you'd have beaten me as well.
Sporting Memories continues to grow with the help of volunteers running clubs like Keith McIntosh, who runs Lancashire's First Two on Mondays and Wednesdays. Wednesdays being in Chorley with Monday mornings at Leyland. Co-founder of Sporting Memories is Tony Jameson Allen.
It's like a huge family. You know, we have over 1,200 people attending, and many of those people do have dementia. It's a terminal illness. There's no effective treatment. There's no cure. And there's an awful lot of sadness at what people plan for a long and happy, healthy life in retirement, and dementia robs people of that. On the other hand, if you attend a group, you won't see sadness. You'll see an awful lot of laughter, a lot of smiles, a lot of fun. And it's almost as if the disease gets left at the door and people for a couple of hours can just enjoy life and enjoy their stories and celebrate their lives too.
When you hear the word dementia, often people's first impression will be of somebody elderly and that it goes hand in hand with Alzheimer's disease. But there's far more to it than that.
When we talk about dementia, it's a global term. Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, but there are over 100 different types of dementia. So we're talking about a vast range of different ways that people can be impacted and the types of diseases that they have and the diagnosis. And often people think that dementia is all about memory. And whilst a lot of the dementias do impact on memory, there's often behaviour change, motor coordination, personality changes, lots of different effects in having a disease. And there's a saying that's used a lot in dementia services, which is when you've met one person with dementia, you've met one person with dementia, because everybody is different.
And for Mags Elliott to be going through it from the age of 59 with Steve, she sees it as the next step in their lives and something that they'll have to deal with.
Is it a sort of bit-by-bit gradual thing?
It is, yeah.
I suppose that's harder to see, isn't it? How long have you guys been married?
35 years.
So you've been married 35 years. You've seen each other, I would imagine, the majority of days in that time. Mm-hmm. Subtle changes you're not going to notice, are you, that much? And then I suppose if I walked in, who'd not seen him for years, I might notice it quicker than you, because you see him every day of his life.
Yeah. I think it's because I knew what to look for, because I used to work in dementia as well, so I'd had a head start, really.
Yeah. In terms of the way things are now, do you have your week planned out, Mr. Elliott? Does your good lady wife have your week planned out for you?
Well, I was a little planner over there.
It's the best way, isn't it, to know exactly what's coming up, and you focus on day by day, do you, to see what's next?
Not really. Well, there is, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah, I think, you're right.
The good thing is, from speaking to you before recording this, you're going to take holidays. You're going to plan things together, as everybody else does.
Yeah.
But as we were saying earlier, Mags, familiarity. So if someone has dementia, don't be put off by having to stay at home. If you're familiar with somewhere else, you know, is that a sort of message that you would give you know, a change is good for everybody?
Yeah, you've got to try and carry on and take each day as it comes and get the best for Stephen, really. We try and go out every day anyway, don't we?
Mm.
So it's different discussions, sort of weather permitting for golf and if anybody's available. Stephen's got a couple of good friends, one in particular. But if he's working, you know, sort of there's a lot of people, because Stephen presents very well, that they think he's all right. And if you ask Stephen, how are you? He'll say, I'm all right. So my eyes roll up in my head sometimes, but
from spending time with Steve, he knows his life isn't as simple as it used to be. Things are harder to understand than they once were, but he's trying to keep busy, as he told me one Monday afternoon.
Is the good way of dealing with it for you, Steve, and having remember working with you, I remember you smiled a lot more than you frowned. You were a happy fellow when I remember working with you. Is it the best way to deal with your health right now is to concentrate on that you are able to go golfing, you are able to go out, you are able to do these things? Some people are not able to do that.
I also do walking football as well, on a Thursday, every Thursday.
How are you finding walking football? Are you ever tempted to run?
It's hard. I tell you, it is really hard.
Well, let me guess, you play centre forward, do you?
No, actually, I just stayed at the back and just sort of played around and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me that you're not up there goal hanging, actually.
I still get into the goal area.
I have to say, before coming to see you, I'd seen a couple of photos of you at the Sporting Memories, and you look no different at all to when I used to work with you. And I mean that sincerely. You are one of those horrible people who never ages. You look in absolutely terrific physical health, Steve. Do you feel like you can go out for a walk for 10 miles still and that sort of thing? Because you look like you can.
I don't think I could do 10 miles on the trot, but yeah, I don't mind doing a little bit of stuff. Yeah, it's all right.
Steve is 60 now and physically active, but he needs conversation with friends more than for just an hour and a half on a Monday morning. His name is down for testing to see if there is really a definitive link between CTE and heading a football repeatedly in training during your career. For now, Steve will be looked after by his wife and circle of close friends who will make sure that he keeps busy and his mind occupied. There's another case of a former Lancashire footballer who's coming to terms with his father's diagnosis.
Duff to his right and Darlene to his left. Instead it's Sutton, sizing it up and completing his hat-trick. Well, if that isn't a clear message to one particular international manager, then I'm not quite sure what is.
Chris Sutton played the game at the highest level in England and Scotland, winning titles along the way. Growing up, his dad Mike was plying his trade in the game, but has for some time been living in a home in Norfolk, needing round-the-clock care and attention.
When I go and see my dad, I don't actually know inside if anything is happening. Because I don't know, it doesn't mean that there is something happening. It's just he isn't capable of showing that. I mean, it's such a complicated disease, isn't it? So, no, I think, you know, support is the biggest thing. He's got progressively worse after the sort of in the last 7-8 years when with the signs he had dementia, and I mean it's a very tough illness. I think it's tough on my dad, but on my mum also. And I think that we always think about the people who are suffering from it, but I think in terms of the partners and the families, it's hard to sit back and watch someone who I loved and grew up with and had the utmost admiration for him, a strong man, strong character, to see him, regress in the way that he has. In the early stages, you think, you can cope, but then it's impossible. And we go to the home in on the outskirts of Norwich where we live and see him. And all we can do is sit and nurture him and talk to him and try and remember and just, give him support. You don't get a lot back. Sometimes you see a little glint in his eye.
It's really interesting you mention your mum there. From personal experience with me as well, with family members who've had it, the immediate carer is someone who you are watching their health suffer as well. And that is when you have to make a decision, isn't it? When you are watching someone else's health get to a point where you know the person with dementia, unfortunately, isn't going to get better. The person who's caring, their health can get better, but they are under so much strain.
Yeah, and in terms of my mum, my dad met my mum, it was at Claremont Pier in Lowestoft, when my mum, I think, was 16, 17, working in a cafe there, and they've been together ever since. So you think of that, their life. I've got two brothers, two sisters, their life together. They weren't a day apart. So the actual emotional strain of having to make that decision to put him in a home, but it wasn't a decision which was made, within a day or a week or two of having dementia. It was down to no choice, really, of years of regression, but also talking to the family and doing the most sensible thing. So she, she's 70 now, so she can have some quality of life, but she still feels guilt.
The two positions that Chris occupied more often than not were at centre-back and centre-forward, heading a ball very much a part of both. But it's not something he worries about for himself, due to the advances in the game since his dad's day.
I don't think about myself and the implications, which I played in positions where I did a lot of heading as a youngster. You know, a lot of the training was, you know, we'd train with heavy, wet balls and basic training, but training which you know, certainly need. When my dad was at Norwich City, they used to head medicine balls as part of the training. When you actually strip everything back, I mean, that's madness.
As it stands, heading the ball in the UK is allowed at all ages, although it must be said, coaching an under-8 team myself, heading hasn't been included in any training session to date. In 2015, children in the US were banned from heading a ball. In 2019, it's banned up until the age of under-12s, with an hour a week practice allowed for under-11s. It was introduced due to 50,000 concussions being recorded in high school football back in 2010. Lawsuits were brought over head injuries in American football and ice hockey, and soccer had to act quickly. Chris Sutton says he's not asking for the same rules here, just hard evidence if there is a link between heading a football and CTE.
Nobody's talking about getting heading banned from football. I don't think anybody who has played the game is necessarily, and their families are necessarily calling for it. I think what we're trying to achieve is this link. And if there is a link which is found between heading a football and dementia, then people have a choice, don't they? And a choice to make, and maybe things will change in terms of, I think in America they have programs where kids under, I think it's 10 or 12, aren't allowed to head footballs. That's common sense, and you know, we can work off the back of that.
Sutton also feels that key time has been wasted in the last 20 years doing a study to conclusively prove whether heading a football can bring on a form of dementia. He points a finger of blame at the PFA.
Certainly in football, they're trying to find a link between heading the ball and whether that is a cause of dementia. I certainly feel, from everything which I've read and seen, that, you know, there could be a link. And I think it was, you know, the situation with Gordon Taylor and the PFA in terms of his role in all this. There was testing back in, I think it was 2001, but the testing stopped. Now, there may never have been a link. There may never be a link found between heading a football and CTE, as it's called. But the fact when the testing stopped at Gordon Taylor didn't flag anything up for 15 years, really, as head of his trade union. You know, it's his responsibility to look after his members. And I feel he neglected to do so, which was plainly wrong. And in that respect, let down not only my dad, who you know, I obviously deeply care about, but hundreds of thousands of footballers and their families around the country and the world who are suffering.
Well, that complaint I put to the PFA chief executive, Gordon Taylor.
I've had a word with him that is not true. Studies not stopped at all. In fact, you know, studies commenced then. It's really important to get the facts right, and I've invited Chris into our office to see the vast amount of work we've done on this subject, and I would like to say I've tried to lead the way in the field of research to try and establish links. No way was research stopped at all, but since that first initial piece of research, nothing more was done. There were changes in the medical setup at the FA, and as a result, a lot of research work was not undertaken. There was a concentration on the England teams rather than the game in general.
So we get this exactly right from your perspective. What happened in 2001, Gordon, that people are upset about?
That's wrong. In 2001, that's when the first piece of research began, and that was organised by Miles Gibson, a neurologist who was head of the FA Medical Committee.
So in terms of people being disappointed, feeling that they haven't had studies, would you dispute that?
Well, yeah, dispute it with the facts, but it's also true that there were difficulties with that piece of research, and although it did get published, it got published quite later on, and I think from that point of view, it was very frustrating for us, but we have been told that the best form of research, we're not medical people, was going forward rather than looking back. And now the research is centering more on the past and looking at particular data, comparing ex-footballers with other people who've not played football, and to try and establish whether it's like industrial injuries. For example, on research with arthritis, there is a proof there that people who've played football to a great extent would be much more likely to have arthritic problems than the general population.
Now, on this evening's sport programme, we've highlighted two cases of former footballers who have dementia. The PFA and the FA appointed Dr. William Stewart and colleagues at the University of Glasgow and Hampden Sports Clinic to lead an independent research study into the incidence of degenerative neurocognitive disease in former players. Well, that study continues today. It's being project managed by the Drake Foundation. People want answers quickly, but more importantly, accurately. We've heard from people convinced that there is a link between heading of football and CTE. Here's Tony Jameson-Allen of Sporting Memories.
Much needed research, which I think most people would suggest should have been commissioned a lot sooner. But I'm pleased to see that that is going forwards, and so that certainly future players can weigh up the risks as to whether the research says there is an increased risk into developing dementia or whether there isn't. I'm really interested to see what those findings are, and really pleased to see the work that Dr. Willie Stewart's doing in getting families to donate the brains of former players who have gone on to develop dementia.
Chris Sutton has been telling us how he hopes the study moves forward.
What I would like to see happen is a real sort of hands to the pump in trying to find the link. And, you know, if there is a link found, then maybe things can be done to, you know, to hopefully find some sort of cure or tablet or medicine which can help. I mean, you know, nobody knows. I think in the short term, in terms of support for dementia sufferers, groups like Sporting Memories carrying on what they are doing, and it seems to be growing in terms of the numbers, and just trying to support people with dementia and give an understanding. And time is the biggest thing, time and patience. And that's all, you know, I think we can do.
And after part funding the process, the PFA's chief executive, Gordon Taylor, says he's waiting for the end results with interest.
There's been interim reports, but there's also been surveys and research done throughout the world. And as I say, this is a world problem. It's not just a problem in England, and it's a world problem for football, but it's a world problem for the population in general, and it's, as I say, a bigger problem than cancer. So if we can begin to find links that cause dementia in its various forms, and there are quite a number of forms, up to 100 different types of dementia and CTE, that then that will be a major breakthrough, and sport and any other sports apart from football would have to address it, but of course it would be a big breakthrough, and we'd be pleased that we've been involved in looking to achieve that. But I don't want to give anybody any false sense of hope until that's firmly established.
Want to thank so many people for taking the time out to speak about what's such a sensitive subject like dementia, and former footballers who are waiting on the results of the work that Dr. Willie Stewart is doing north of the border, and many other talented people just looking into any sort of link between CTE and heading a football in training. It's a really emotive subject. Loads and loads and loads of people to thank for the last 2 weeks for speaking to us, not least Steve and Mags Elliott, who invited us into their home last month to go and spend a couple of hours with them, and then to spend the morning with them at Sporting Memories at the Lancashire Football Association. Thanks to Keith and Andrew, who were so kind throughout the morning to show us around, and so many of the lovely people who were there on the day to speak to us. To Chris Sutton, who really went out of his way for us when he was last at Ewood Park to speak about the real health issues that his father has to go through on a daily basis, who lives at a home these days, who actually
Chris told us he doesn't know who Chris is when he goes to visit. It must be an absolutely galling experience every time you go and see your dad. Big thanks to Alan Shearer as well, who saw recently at Ewood Park, and for giving us permission to use part of his documentary that was aired on BBC television in November of 2017. Alex Bruce, it was brilliant to see one of my old bosses, used to be my boss at Bamber Bridge Leisure Centre years and years ago. Lovely to see him looking so well. And just to let you know, if you have listened to any of the last 2 weeks, just about wondering whether a loved one of yours might have some symptoms of suffering with dementia, or maybe memory loss, or maybe someone that you know is going through a really bad time, or maybe doesn't see many people too often and is quite lonely, try Sporting Memories. Try them on a Monday at the Lancashire FA. Try them on a Wednesday afternoon at Chorley Football Club. I am absolutely certain that you'll come away thinking that you've had a real well worth 90 minutes in the company of a lot of lovely people. Keith McIntosh, I promise you, will look after you so much. So thank you ever so much for everybody who has gone out of their way for us. And Tony Jameson Allen, the co-founder of Sporting Memories, who was an absolute delight to speak to.